Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince for another Uncomfortable. And today we want to talk about keeping Christ as our priority. We've kind of alluded to this off and on in the last couple of weeks when we've been talking about keeping Christ at our center, right? At our core. But I think it's very important for us to remember and to kind of bring it back up and really deeply dive into this thing where we're talking about the importance of not allowing distractions, the demands of life, you know, even just the daily chaos. We've both been parents, and we're still parents, of course. But what I mean by that is, you know, we've had younger children, and we know the craziness that goes along with young children, working parents, trying to do the work thing while having the daycare thing and trying to get dinner ready after you get home, especially in a great large metroplex like Dallas-Fort Worth, where, you know, you could sit in traffic for an hour to an hour and a half or even longer, depending on where you live, you know, just trying to get home from work. And so once you get to the children, it might even be 6 o'clock at night, you know, and you haven't even
been nice about it.
Exactly. And you haven't even started dinner yet, right? So just the chaos of life, which is not necessarily saying that you have a chaotic situation in your head, but just life itself, the day-to-day chores and demands of life kind of creates a natural chaos that's hard to keep your focus and your priorities wrapped around the center of Christ first. And what I mean by that, to kind of define it a little bit, is many times, even the most devoted Christians will allow themselves to get so saturated with the demands of life and work and family that they can forget about their first love, about keeping Christ first. And it's not that they don't love God, or even you and me when we've been through these seasons, it's not that we didn't love God. It's just that sometimes life itself, almost like the weeds in the parable, you know, of the seeds and this, you know, the sower, you know, the weeds of life tried to choke out the time that we have so that we wouldn't have enough time to spend with the Creator. And that's where it's so important, Vince, for us to be super intentional, hyper intentional, very focused on making sure that we have segmented out or even scheduled time in our life so that we can take that time and spend it with the Lord. Vince, what have you seen, you know, in your own personal life, as you've counseled pastors and, you know, even students, you know, what have you seen when it comes to the chaos of life and the different demands that really bring in distraction and sometimes outright just overriding the time that they have for the devotional and everything?
I would say this, that the chaos is the chaos. It's going to come no matter what. It's how it's handled. I actually used this analogy the other day when I was talking about making sure that he's our priority, making sure we're spending time in the Word and with him. And I said, not spending time with him. If you call yourself a Christian and you don't spend time with him and you don't spend time in the Word, it's like being a ship caught in a storm. You have no rudder, no steering, no engines, no sails, nothing. You're just a giant floating log, basically, and can be tossed around by whatever comes your way. And you get flipped upside down, sideways. There's no way to steer into anything. You have no control. You're just tossed to and fro. And whereas if you are spending the time in it, and the storm comes, you've got all those things I just mentioned that you didn't have. You have the rudder, you have the steering, you have the engines and the sails, and you also have the stabilizers, even adding that to it. So, and the storms will come and the winds will hit, go, and you'll have rogue waves that'll hit, but you could steer into it. And, you know, you have the navigator being Christ to do that. And, you know, as we're prepping and thinking about this, a couple things would crossed my mind. It was kind of interesting. I was going to look for Colossians 3, and as I did, the verse of the day on Bible Gateway was Galatians 2:20. It says, I had been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And I was like, all right, so we're on the right track tonight recording this. But I wanted to draw attention to Colossians 3, verse 2, where it says, to set your mind, and I'm using the Amplified because I love how it expounds on it. It says, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, those heavenly things, not on things that are on earth, which are of temporary value. And then 4, it says, for you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And the reason those things kind of stood out to me with this, pertaining to this, is the Bible is filled. Paul talks about it, several of the other epistles and the Gospels talk about the importance of making sure that we walk with him, that we are conformed to him, that we conform and renew our mind by taking in the word. And you asked what I'm seeing, and that is the constant talk right now. Matter of fact, at my church this last Saturday, we read this whole chapter through, and that became the driving topic. Of course, we talked about other things in there, but the driving topic was putting Christ first in everything that we do to the best of our capabilities. Now, look, I mean, the truth is we're gonna mess up. We're human beings, we're not perfect. That perfection doesn't exist. And I understand that the word says that through Christ we are perfected, but we still have to walk out our salvation every day with fear and
That's right.
trembling. So we have to do our best to create these habits of waking up and getting in the word, waking up and spending time communicating with the Lord throughout our day, not just in the morning. I mean, listen, for those of you who are married, as far as I know, you don't just talk to your spouse first thing in the morning and don't talk to him again at all until when you go into bed at night. So you talk to him throughout the day. Meditate on his word. That's one of the reasons why I think it's important to read the word in the morning. It's not so much about having to read 6 chapters in the morning as much as it's about having something that goes into your spirit. And if you are reading, I would say read and listen to however many chapters you decide to do in the morning. That way something will stick in your head, or in a southern term, something will stick in your crawl.
I think that's more of a Louisiana term.
Well, and it'll stay there, and it'll stay with you throughout the day, and you can meditate on that and ask the Lord about it. Hey, what did you mean by this? Hey, what did you, this is really standing out to me. And maybe later when you have time, you could go digging for it. But it's something that Kirk, you and I were told this at Christ for the Nations when we were students, and it's continued to be told to the students now. Make sure that you're spending your own personal time with the Lord every day. Don't allow the classes in the morning worship every day to take the place of your own personal relationship. And it's the same thing with pastors and stuff. And you get so busy. There's so much to do. There's so many things that you're trying to take care of, and everybody has this demand or expectation on you, like you're perfect and you have time for them and to give up your own day and all that stuff like that to be there for all of them. And so that comes with placing boundaries and say, I need time with Jesus. Because otherwise you start just looking things up online, getting these generic sermons that don't mean anything. I mean, not that they're bad, they're good things, but it's regurgitated. It's not anything that God has revealed to you for your people at this time. Because if God has called your congregation to do something specific in the specific area that you are, or neighborhood that you are, what good is it if you're regurgitating something that was meant for somebody else somewhere else?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the other thing that people end up with the danger there is when you keep chasing after the revelation of others and you begin to cherry pick the information, you begin to fall into this trap where you begin to create your doctrine around what's relevant to your situation. And that's very dangerous, because when you try to make it relevant to your situation, it could even be, hey, brother, let's backpedal just a hair. It could even be like when if you're a pastor, one of your members of the church, they're chasing after advice from people that are going through the same tribulation and trials that they're going through, which is very dangerous. And it could look like this. John goes to Adam, and they're both having marital issues, right? And they're complaining about their wife to each other. And they're basically regurgitating almost the exact same story, a little bit different on each side, but they're both empathizing and championing the other one on. And the next thing you know, they both agree that divorce is the best thing. Well, that's not what they need. They need a brother that has already been successful in being a conqueror in this arena, to where they've already overcome the enemy in their marriage, where they've already said, look, I will not allow division. I will not allow infidelity. I will not allow, you know, sin to enter in to the bedroom chamber. But instead, I'm going to make sure that I lift up my wife in prayer. I'm going to continue to bathe my family in prayer and continuously lift them up before the Lord, leave them before the Lord, because first of all, God's first. Family's just right immediately under God. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to make sure that God is number one in your life, but then you're going to begin to pray and intercede that your spouse is brought to the place that they're supposed to be and lifted up to be closer to the Father themselves, right? And you'll begin to champion for them before the Lord. That's the kind of person that those two individuals need. They don't need someone that's going to, you know, basically say, yes, you're good in this dirt and mire. You're okay thinking that way. You're okay believing that X, Y, and Z. No, no. They need someone that says, look, son, or look, brother, that's not the right way to look at that. You need to be praying for your spouse. You should not think that way. You should not talk that way. You should not live that way. Instead, they're trying to encourage and lift and build up and pull them out of the situation instead of saying, yes, you're good. Hey, everything's good. You're right for thinking that way. And it's not necessarily that sometimes we're not justified in our thinking. But the reality is just because you may be justified in your thinking, your actions themselves could cause your very thinking, even though justified, to be wrong. Because the word says that we're supposed to honor our spouse as herself, right? We're supposed to, basically, especially as husbands, we're supposed to love our wife as herself, even unto death, like Christ did the church. So if that's the case, oh, and by the way, wives are supposed to honor their husbands and listen to them, right? When those two pieces are falling hand in hand, both parties are working with 110% invested in that marriage. They're chasing after God for the family, for the marriage. They're lifting up the other one to the Father and not allowing all the naysayers and the champions and whatever else to come around them and try to say you're okay in this negativity. No, they're being intentional with it, surrounding themselves with people that will help them see things in a God-fearing way instead of what's convenient to the circumstances around them.
No, I totally am down with that. It's, you know, with our relationships, and that's something you and I mentioned earlier, was is when you come together and you're married, it's got to be for both of you. For the husband, Jesus has to be the number one priority. For the wife, Jesus has to be the number one priority. And the next person that of priority should be each other. And you guys need to be okay with being the second priority as long as Christ is first. So it kind of like works in our life, in our marriage, it works like this. If Christ is first in each other's life, there's nothing to worry about. I'm totally happy being second place in my wife's life if Christ is number one. But if he's not, if anything else gets put above him, then that means I get knocked down lower on the list. I get kind of jealous of that. Why are you spending so much time doing this? Why are you putting all your effort into this? Why aren't you putting that into us, into our life, into me, into all of that kind of stuff? And so that's part of it. We are, we have the, I don't want to say the right, but we kind of do have that right to be somewhat jealous. Like, why is someone other than Christ your main priority? And so it also makes things like what you mentioned, where husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, and wives submit to your husbands, makes it a lot easier to do that when the other one is submitted to Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
When I, as the husband, am submitted to Christ and following his leadership, it's not to say I'm perfect, but it is to say that because of that, it makes it a little easier for my wife to submit to me, because she knows the direction I'm going in, and that is to pursue him and him alone. And vice versa, it's easier for a man to lead his spouse, to his wife. It's easier for him to run the house, to have his household run, if she's submitted to Christ first. Then there's certain things he doesn't have to worry about, because Christ takes preeminence over everything else. And it's the same with our friendships. It's the same with our relationships at work, our ministry relationships, our jobs, our ministries, and all that. Man, you know, the one thing that gets me, Kirk, and we've talked about this, how many pastors' kids, how many PKs aren't even walking with the Lord right now, because we were taught from generations before that historical information, that tradition was passed down, that you have to sacrifice them for that, when the Bible clearly states that that's your first ministry. And if you don't have that in order, you have no business telling anybody else what to be doing with their life.
I would say it would even go as far as, if you're putting, you know, everything above your family, you're not paying attention to what benefits them and brings them closer to the Lord, mm-hmm. then you're not even qualified to be a minister.
Yeah, according to Timothy and Titus, yeah.
And I know that's a hard thing to say.
That's pretty harsh.
But that's what the Word of God says, that we're supposed to first and foremost be one that is a good caretaker of our family, a good steward of what God's already given us. And for that to be accomplished, we have to have a Christ-centered life ourselves, God first, family immediately after, and then mm-hmm. every other thing is a priority after that. You know, we cannot put our job, our ministry, our church, you know, the neighbor across the street, anything above God. And then after that, above our family.
Right. Because
when we do, we get things out of order. And they're not aligned properly with what God aligned for us in Scripture. And, you know, let's just be honest. God created women in a way to where they need stability. They want something that's anchored so that they feel stable. And when we as husbands, you know, if we put something else in front of our wife that's not God, that makes them feel unanchored, almost like someone cut the anchor away and all the stability is gone, because then every wave, every nuance of the wind that blows makes them feel like they're being shaken to the core. But when we are anchored to God as God first, and we have them put in their proper place, that anchor is properly in place and they feel stability. They feel security because they know God's first. They know that they're in their proper places right after God. And they know that if we're chasing God, that we're going to consider them just like we consider ourselves. Because here's the reality. When we have our hearts right with God, and we have our ear attentive to the Father, if we're out of line, God the Father himself will correct us. And the same goes with our wives. If our wives are walking close to the Lord, and they have got God first, and then immediately after that, the spouse, at that point, if they are not acting in accordance with the Word, if they are truly listening to the Lord and keeping that relationship and that communication clear, God will correct our wives, because guess what? They're his daughter. And just like a good father is going to correct their son or their daughter, our Heavenly Father will correct us as sons and our wives as daughters. And there's no exception because He's a good Father. He wants the best for us. And so here's the reality. There's been seasons of my life whenever I've been running my mouth because I didn't like something at work. Holy Spirit told me, you need to stop that, son. So if He'll tell me not to talk about certain things, even when it's just me and Him in the car, you know, about my work, how much more would He do the same thing when it comes to my marriage?
And that's, I just have to say one thing to that one. Ow.
But that's reality, right? You know, God no, wants us true. To have honest conversations, not to be afraid of having that conversation with Him. But we need to understand where that priority lies, that we keep Him first. We allow Him the, you know, option to speak into our life in a way that's uncomfortable to us so that He can bring about proper correction and direction, because the Word says that God corrects those He loves and He disciplines those He's chosen. Well, if that's the case, if we've been chosen and we are, you know, picked by God, He's going to discipline and correct us because He loves us. He wants us to have the best for our lives. He wants us to have the most prosperous situation in our relationships. And He's going to continue to direct our steps. And sometimes the way we speak.
I mean, you know, it's interesting too. The other aspect of it, that spending time with Him and keeping Him as our main priority and reading His word and all that aspect of it, is it helps you. You should get to a point where, and I mean this in the most positive way I can think of, the word of God should offend you at some points as you're reading it. If it doesn't grab your attention, yes, it's supposed to uplift you and encourage you, but it should also offend you. Look, I've been walking with the Lord for probably close to 30 years now. I'm coming up on 30, which is kind of crazy. I didn't even think I'd live that long, much less be a Christian that long.
Are you saying you're ancient, Vince?
No, I realized that I mean, I got saved when I was like a week before I turned 13 years old, but I didn't really understand anything and nobody really taught me anything. And then I just stopped going to church after a while. And then I came back to church when I was 16 and started learning some things, but didn't really do much with it until I turned 18. And when I turned 18, God just grabbed a hold of my heart and He started messing with me. And then it just kind of went from there. And I mean, I'm a few weeks away from being 47 now. So coming up on 30 years of being a what I would consider a believer that God hit me and I have not walked away from this path. Now, not to say I haven't had my struggles and my times and all that and things, but I've been generally heading in His direction since that time. But I even now, especially right now, and I mean, we sit in church and we read the word and I'm getting offended in a good way, because I've cultivated the relationship where Holy Spirit has the right to talk to me whenever He wants to. He can tell me whatever He wants, whenever He wants. And I have agreed to at least hear Him out. I might not like it. We might have some things to whine and complain about, but I'll listen. And it pricks my heart. And then the word comes up and someone starts sharing from Holy Spirit. And I'm like, oh, this just hits me right in my soul. And I'm sorry, I don't think that we should ever be in a comfortable place where we should not be willing to have our flesh offended by Holy Spirit or by the Word of God. It just doesn't. To me, that seems contrary to what the Word tells us, that it's a two-edged sword, dividing the bone and the marrow. So where in the Word does it say that at some point that stops? As far as I know, until we get to heaven, it doesn't stop.
Yeah, I don't know that it does stop.
I mean, and even then, it's probably, it may come across different. It may be different because we're inside of that perfection and wholeness of Christ there, but we're still learning and we're still being taught, and there's still things that are coming out. Like, I mean, it's grabbing my attention recently going through the Bible. Like, I'm doing the 1 year Bible thing, right? And we're reading through Numbers, and it gets kind of taxing sometimes, where they're like, and this group had this, how many thousands, and this had that. But you got to hold on to it, because in between those sometimes are these really important nuggets of information that you got to hold on to get through. And it's things like, where God's asking Moses to share this with the people after he already found out that he personally wasn't going into the promised land because of the decision that he made that was outside of what God said to do.
Oh yeah.
He's still having to lead these people and govern these people and teach these people and train these people, knowing full well he's not going across the Jordan.
He had a chance to get offended. That
can get really, huh?
He had the chance to get offended.
Right. And he could be upset. And maybe he was. Maybe he spent some of that time talking to God, being like, that's just not right. These moaning, groaning, complaining people that you sent me to help bring them free, I had a moment, just an inkling of a moment of weakness, and did something out of anger. And you said you were going to destroy all of them.
Yep.
And I interceded. So, I mean, look, there's times where we don't agree with what God is saying to do, but we still have to walk it out. And Moses faithfully served the nation as God's mouthpiece, even though he never got to see the one thing that he was hoping to see. So, I mean, it doesn't always go down the way we want it to, but the word of God should always, always, always be pouring into us, and whether it be encouraging us. I mean, there's some stories where you look at me like, oh God, thank you that I heard that. Thank you that I read that, because I've been feeling so alone in what I'm going through. And hearing that, I'm like, huh, that's good to know.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody else went through it. And then other times it should scrape through your soul like sandpaper on a piece of wood, and it should hurt. But I mean, I could be wrong. I could be completely off base on it, but I don't think we should ever become to a place where we are not capable of being corrected by the word. And the day that comes that we are, I'd have to say that we're in a place of pride and arrogance, and potentially ready to fall over the edge.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's where we have to be honest with ourselves and have conversations with those that are, you know, firm in the faith. Whether it's our leaders, our mentor, those that have gone through the tribulations and trials around us that we trust to give us good, godly advice, that we can share those life struggles with and not allow ourselves to get so entangled in the situation, but allowing Holy Spirit to use those that we've partnered with through His Spirit to lift us up into the place that we're supposed to be. Now, as we wrap this thing up, I think it's important for us to remember that we need to stay connected with Christ. We need to stay rooted in the foundation of God and His principles, so that we make sure that we don't allow ourselves to come to a place to where our job, our family, or our ministry is our number one priority, but instead that we keep Christ as our number one priority. And then when we have Christ as our number one priority, then at that point, our family comes immediately after. And then everything else is after that. As long as we keep everything according to the biblical principles, keep it in balance with the Word of God, and giving Holy Spirit the authority and the permission to speak freely into our lives, the Holy Spirit will continue to encourage us and to equip us that all that we need. Now, guys, we really would like to hear from you. We would love for you to reach out to us and email us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. We would like to know your show topic ideas and also any prayer requests that you may have. You can also go to mooseministries.org/give and support us there if you'd like to support the show. Guys, we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to talking to you again on the next one.
See y'all later.